From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. A few years ago, Eric Wheeler was flying out to meet one of his investors. He runs a company called 33 Across. It's an advertising technology company, and it was doing really well, pulling in millions in revenue, and it had recently raised a $13 million growth round. So he was going through his pipeline, just making sure he had everything ready for this meeting with the investor, and then something big stopped him.
What I had seen a couple days before, $4 million in pipeline disappeared. And it wasn't somebody's bad forecasting. It just went away.
Just gone. $4 million in business, gone.
We were like, holy moly, what are we going to do? And we took it really seriously. And I think that's the thing that probably was the most defining moment for us was we were like, okay, this is not normal. Normally you'll have a client will cancel or somebody will say, my campaign is shifted or we're not going to do this. But to have what was wholesale tectonic shifts happening, we said, wait.
Wait. It's a good instinct. Wait. Let's step back. Let's see what's going on. Let's see if there's something we need to fix or adjust to, or who even knows. And the answer for 33 Across became clear quite quickly. 33 Across had built what was once innovative advertising technology. It had been the hot new thing. But you know what happens in technology, right? Very quickly, the hot new thing can become the cold old thing. And that is what happened to 33 Across. The industry evolved so rapidly that it left 33 Across behind in an instant, and that left Eric and his team in survival mode. They needed a new plan and fast. Maybe they needed to become an entirely new company. Whatever the case is, action was required. And here's what came next. 33 Across reinvented itself. To do that, though, it would need to shed the majority of its staff and then try to retain and inspire the shell-shocked talent that was left while still trying to find new talent that would trust the company and its very new pivot. That is a tough act to pull off. But today, 33 Across has done it. It's a profitable company pulling in $100 million in revenue. So that's the story we're going to tell on Problem Solvers today, how 33 Across reinvented itself and, most importantly, brought the team it needed along the way. We'll get into it all right after the break. Data. We talk about it on this show all the time. It can be the greatest tool that a business has, and that's why the most successful organizations and professionals are data-driven. But there's a problem here. As the volume of data that businesses have access to increases, they need to find more efficient ways to turn that data into actionable insight. And you know who solves that problem? iDashboards. iDashboards offers a comprehensive business intelligence solution to help you with data aggregation, preparation, analysis, visualization, and reporting. With the iDashboards Data Hub, you can blend data from multiple sources to get a comprehensive view of related data. Then, its intuitive dashboard builder gives anyone the freedom to create and design dashboards with no programming experience required. It's no wonder companies like Lockheed Martin, Michigan Humane Society, and Navy Federal Credit Union trust iDashboards to provide them with the data they need to make the best, most informed decisions for their business. So, check it out. To learn more, visit idashboards.com/problem. That's idashboards.com/problem. And now, our second sponsor. Hiring. It's like a problem wrapped inside a problem. I mean, you're hiring because you need help, but the actual process of finding the right people to hire can be tedious at best. You need more than a job board. You need an efficient way to reach the right candidates at the right time. And that's where LinkedIn comes in. Over 600 million members, like me, visit LinkedIn to make connections, learn and grow as professionals, and discover new job opportunities. When you post a job listing on LinkedIn Jobs, you're putting all of LinkedIn's data to use. It'll recommend candidates that could be great matches, for example, and you can target your promotion to people with the right skills. And because resumes often come in fast and furious, LinkedIn will also give you a dashboard to manage all of your candidates in one place. So, time to get posting. To get $50 off your first job post, go to linkedin.com/problem solvers. Again, that's linkedin.com/problem solvers. problem solvers to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we're back. So before this gigantic company-changing problem, 33Across was a solid company pulling in solid revenue. So we should understand a bit of that before it all comes tumbling down. Eric had been in the advertising business for most of his career, working at both giant companies and startups. And he started 33Across in 2007 along with his co-founder, Greg, because they saw an opportunity in the marketplace.
What we were trying to do was basically use massive amounts of social data. Facebook wasn't even launched then. And we were using lots of data, messaging, email, chat messaging, social messaging data to understand connectivity between people as a better way to drive behavioral targeting.
In other words, he was getting into the business of collecting data so that advertisers could do a better job of targeting people. And in a pre-Facebook world, that was both very appealing and also a little foreign. 33Across was able to really capitalize on this and build a strong business for a few years. From 2007 until like 2012, things were growing, things were happy, they even acquired another company. But then the market changed. And to Eric and his team, it seemed to come out of nowhere. And okay, the details of how the market changed are complicated, and it really comes down to how much you want to know about the digital advertising industry. But Eric has a nice way of putting it here.
It's like the difference between standing in line at a bank for your to do a transaction and going to an ATM. If given a choice, who would ever stand in line?
Eric's technology was like standing in line. And listen, I don't profess to be an expert on this stuff, but just to give you the quick of it, there's this system of advertising called programmatic advertising, which basically dominates the digital ad space. And with Eric's old technology, buying programmatic advertising required some steps. A client had to do an insertion order and send it over and wait and blah, blah. And then this new technology was developed in the industry, which made the whole thing more seamless. No insertion order, no waiting, just get right to it, like getting money from an ATM. Hello, efficiency, and unfortunately, goodbye, 33Across. So, what do you do at this moment? I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't try to figure out how to make your old product relevant again. That's the trap. It's natural human instinct to want to protect the old thing, to try to make it work again, simply because it already exists, because it's easier than whatever the alternative is. But Eric knew better. He didn't know exactly what to do at that moment, but he knew it had to involve massive change.
So I took about a handful of the smartest people we had in the company, some the most senior, some the most junior, but the brightest, and sequestered them in our Sunnyvale office. And I said, you have 45 days, come back with a plan.
So they did. And they came back with three ideas of how to save 33Across. The first was to pivot and focus on advertising technology aimed at senior citizens, like ads with bigger fonts and stuff. Eric was not into that at all. The second idea was to build an advertising network that just focuses on the tablet market. Again, Eric saw no future in that. But then the third idea, well, he liked that one a lot more.
The third was this idea we had acquired a sharing technology, a copy and paste publisher tool called Tint, T-Y-N-T, in 2012. And what this did is it helped publishers to understand what content is being copied and shared on their website. So it really helped us to get that kind of really good kind of sharing data. But what we realized was we had data on, and we had JavaScript on at that point, 500,000 websites. And we knew programmatic was taking off. We knew that viewability was going to be an issue. We knew that automated buying was going to be, obviously, it was kind of putting us out of business. So what can we do to make programmatic advertising or ATM-based kind of advertising work? And the idea was, why don't we, instead of putting ads on the top and the right, where nobody looks anymore and we've trained a generation plus to ignore, at this point too, let's start to create ads where ads don't normally exist. Let's look on the left or the right. Let's only have them show up when we have a programmatic buyer, and they won't overlay content. They won't cover it. They'll be polite, but they can stay in view. They'll scroll with the user. It's very, very tactical, kind of small thing. But what it turned out was we could take standard ads that everyone was buying in programmatic. We could deliver them into this infrastructure where we would place an ad. The publisher would loved it because they got incremental money. The advertisers liked it because the engagement rates and the response rates and the efficacy was very high. And we could be very polite about it, and we would only show it a certain amount of times and other things. We had a lot of user controls.
Eric likes this. It's a new way for 33Across to serve the marketplace, and it seemed like something that advertisers will see a lot of value in. But now the question is, how do you actually get to the point where this old company is doing a new thing?
It's not even an MVP. So we need to now get to, we need to get to publishers. We need to test this. We need to get to advertisers. This is going to take a long time. This is going to hurt. And we have way too many people to support that. So we had to make some tough decisions.
And by tough decisions, he means that he had to lay off 70% of his staff. 70%. Could you imagine it? 70%. It's brutal. It is, Eric says, probably the hardest thing you can do as a CEO. Here, you've convinced these people to come join you in pursuing your vision, and now you're going to eliminate their jobs because your original vision turned out to not be correct after all. But once that was done, Eric had yet another issue to deal with. Because if you lay off 70% of your company, you keep 30% of your company, and that 30% is shell-shocked. You just let their friends and colleagues go. And yeah, sure, they might be happy to have a paycheck next week, but that doesn't mean they trust you anymore. They're rattled and scared and disappointed. And how are you supposed to get your best work out of them if they're feeling like that? That is the question that Eric now had to wrestle with. And he eventually came to an answer. And here it is in two words. Radical transparency. As in, show his employees the numbers.
It started because I had to. And so when they said, well, how do we know that this is going to work? How do we know that the company's not going to be doing well or doing better? How are we going to know this? I said, well, all right. When I see the revenue, you'll see the revenue. So we'll share revenue with the whole company every day. Get the reports, get them. So 8 a.m., first reports out, automated. 8 p.m., we updated.
As Eric says, this started out of necessity. He was just figuring out a way to rebuild his employees' trust. But here's where it becomes interesting. Because once he implemented this, he discovered that being radically transparent with his employees actually had a pretty significant impact. If an employee saw a problem and they were in a position to solve it, they'd step up. People took pride in their team's or the company's success. Everyone started rallying together. So Eric thought to himself, okay, great, let's keep this going. How else can we make people feel totally informed? And he thought, well, he could show everyone any presentation that he makes to the company's board.
Every board meeting that we had, we would come out and present the board deck, with the exception of, you know, who got how many stock options or who's getting paid whatever amount of money. And it became this kind of this culture of just delivering more and more information and continuing to share everything we possibly could and not filtering it for them. And we would tell them what we think is important and here's the raw data, take a look. And now it's kind of interesting because I've had people over, you know, that have been with us for 4 or 5 years, they go to another company and they're really bummed because they don't get any of that information. But we're kind of spoiling it for other companies where I don't get this data. How do you guys track how you're doing every day? Well, we kind of don't. We just do our job and keep our head down. And we created some interesting frameworks that we create that's a one-page document that just says, here's where we are this year. Here's where we want to be at the end of the year. What are we going to do to get from here to here? And that's another unifying tool that we use that just everybody in the company can see exactly what we're doing this week, this quarter, to solve for this year's challenge.
This kind of thing also started to shift the company culture as a whole. Eric said he really felt it once the company got back on its feet. I mean, he was in the weeds on the turnaround, but then once the company began feeling stable again and he was able to step back from some of the day-to-day and assume more of the role of the CEO of a large company, he felt like important barriers had been broken down. He was able to talk to any employee and say, hey, what do you think of this? Is this okay? Is this working? It's a level of vulnerability that a CEO might not feel comfortable having. But Eric did because he'd created this new company where everyone felt fully informed. So what was there to hide? Anyway, today, 33 Across has completed its turnaround. Like I said at the start, it's a profitable company pulling in $100 million in revenue. And this got me thinking. Remember at the beginning of all this, Eric was running a thriving company that was just caught totally unprepared for a major technological change in its industry? Eric used to have the hot new thing, and then he had the cold old thing. So couldn't that happen again? And if he wasn't prepared for it back then, what's he doing to prepare for it next time? So I asked Eric, and he said, yeah, change is no doubt coming again, but this time they're building that expectation of change directly into the company.
We got some things that are happening in the ecosystem. Again, advertising's changing and evolving in technology, and we've got teams of people working on what's next. And you know, now what we're doing is, I would say 60% of the business is focused on the core missions. 30% of the business is focused on adjacent opportunities. and then 10% on kind of how do we really think further out. And they're all kind of reporting back. And this is information that's shared with everybody. So it's pretty fun.
How do you save yourself from near disaster? Build trust and prepare for the future. It sounds simple, right? But when you listen to Eric's story, you learn that it's a lot more complicated to execute. Still, change is always coming. So really, what other choice do you have? And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.